Good morning, Christ Center. It's Thursday, October 2nd, and we're in week 4 of our walk through the book of Mark. Today, we're going to be reading Mark 6, 45 to 52. But before we begin, let's take a moment to quiet our hearts as we invite the Holy Spirit to join us.
Mark 6, 45 to 52. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came toward them, walking on the sea, and wanted to pass by them. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, he spoke with them and said, "Have courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded, because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened.
This is one of the coolest passages in the book of Mark, don't you think?
It's really fun.
This is a really fun passage.
It's also, there's a lot of interesting things going on, too.
Oh, fascinating stuff. So just to recap the last 2 days, 2 days ago, we had this strange little interlude talking about John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. And then yesterday we had the feeding of the 5,000, and now we have this happening. We were talking about this beforehand. The book of Mark doesn't spell this out, but in Matthew, it's clear that this all happens in the same day. Jesus finds out about John.
Feeds the 5,000.
Yeah.
And then goes up the hill to pray.
Doesn't that give you like so much respect for Jesus? His best friend, his cousin dies, is murdered. And he's gutted, but then he just sees the crowd and he has compassion for him. Even in his hour of intense pain, he goes to them. And here, he goes away to pray at the beginning of this.
He gets rid of the crowds.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I've been here for you, but it's time for me to take some time for myself.
Yeah.
And so he's not afraid to take that solo time.
Well, this was such a practice of Jesus, too. Getting away to pray is something he put great emphasis on. Now, Jesus had very healthy rhythms.
Yeah, and he was able to, I mean, I think he wanted to go away and pray earlier.
Yeah, he did.
But because of the crowds, he's like, okay, I'm willing to forego this to meet this need.
Right.
So there's a flexibility in it also, which I think is kind of cool.
Absolutely. So here he is. He is praying in the middle of the night. There's so much about the story that makes me laugh, you know? He sees them straining at the oars because the wind's against them. So very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea. And this phrase, wanted to pass by them. What are we to make of that? I mean, like, I see that and I'm like, is he playing a trick on him? Like, I don't think he is, obviously. But I mean, like, that's the way it almost looks when you read it.
Well, you know, one thing is like he could be waiting for them on shore on the other side and they'd be all surprised.
Right. Yeah.
But you'd also read something in one of the commentaries about passing by as a way the Lord reveals himself.
Yeah. That's from the Tyndale commentary. Let me just read you this. It says the most plausible interpretation sees an intentional echo of theophany language. And theophany, that's when God shows up. The presence of God shows up in the Old Testament. And there's a couple of times where this happens, you know, that really stand out. One is Moses on Sinai, when God says, "I will pass before you." And he passes before him, and he says his name, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding loving kindness." We also have a time when God passes by Elijah, also on the mountain, coincidentally, things like that. So yeah, this commentator thinks that maybe it's connected here, as if this could be translated, Jesus intended to manifest himself to his disciples. We don't really know.
they thought it was a ghost and cried out because they all saw him.
Yeah.
And I can just kind of see the disciples sitting there going, do you see that? Wait, do you see that? You see it too? Not just me?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, there's more story here that we don't get in the book of Mark.
Peter going for a walk swim.
Peter going for a walk swim. Now, it's funny that this isn't in here because if you remember, the book of Mark is thought to be largely influenced and compiled from Peter's own testimony, from Peter's stories. If that's true, which we have great reason to believe in church tradition that it's true, then Peter didn't want that story in here. Now, and I don't know, like, could that be like him trying to save face or not save face, but, you know, oh, that's an embarrassing story. I don't want to tell it. Or it could be on the other hand. I mean, he did walk on water and maybe he's like, I don't want to brag.
I don't want to brag. I don't want to confess that I took my eye off Jesus and sank.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, I wonder is it ends with they're not understanding and their hearts were hardened.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, because as Mark is doing his gospel, he's really focusing a lot more on what Jesus did and their hearts being hardened. And he may have just said, well, we weren't getting it. Even we hardened our hearts to the Lord. And the walk swim may have been a distraction from that point.
Yeah, absolutely. If we jump forward into chapter 8, Jesus is going to have a little talk with the disciples. Like, do you still not understand? Do you still not understand what I can do? And it is, to me, it is intriguing. I can't blame these guys for not fully like grasping it because he was with them, you know?
And we were talking about this earlier that we've come to faith in Jesus, in belief in him, and we think of him as a divine being.
Right.
We think of him as God. God doesn't sit next to me and share a sandwich with me and stuff like that.
God doesn't share a sandwich with me. Yeah. Yes. So it would have been harder for them to really wrap their minds around the true power that he had.
Because they got to be with him when he was fully human.
Yeah.
And it's hard to think of somebody so fully human being so miraculously divine.
The church spent centuries grappling with ideas about the identity of Jesus and the nature of Jesus, the two natures. You know, he's fully man, but he's fully God. We're on the other side of that, having all kinds of theologians having talked about this and settled some of these things. This is so far before that. And these guys are looking at Jesus, just not quite getting that. But also, I'm not going to go against Jesus and him being annoyed with him. Why are you guys so freaked out? What do you think? It's a ghost. Wouldn't the first thought have been, oh, I bet that's Jesus?
They go to fear so quickly.
Yeah.
When I think in our walk, there's lots of times fear enters in and we don't realize it.
Absolutely.
And I also think that, you know, there's times I think I harden my heart to the Lord. I don't do it intentionally.
Right.
But
you make it hard by hardening your heart. It can look different ways, but just making it hard for his words or his truth to get in for one reason or another.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of comforting to know the disciples did this too.
Well, he certainly was patient with them. I'm glad he's patient with us too. Can you pray a blessing over us today?
Yeah. Lord, we just thank you that you are Emmanuel, you are God with us. And help us not harden our hearts or think when we see you walk by, but be curious and engage and welcome you into our days. So we just ask you continue to reveal yourself in your word and the world and through others around us. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.